This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
America is in a shocking retreat from marriage. The United States Census 2000 reveals that households headed by unmarried partners grew 72%. Nuclear or intact families fell below 25% of all households, and cohabitation has increased 1,000%. Believe it or not, the highest rate of divorce is among Protestant Christians in the Bible Belt. 35% of Americans who have ever married have divorced. The figure is exactly the same for Christians. 23% of born-again Christians have divorced two or more times, and for every 100 new marriages, 51 end in divorce. Welcome to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and it's Jesus versus Jezebel. Jesus versus Jezebel, my friends, and today on Viewpoint, we're going to talk about the implications of that. It's dialogue that demands decision. Conversation with Conviction, and by the way, that is the title of our newsletter that went to press today, Jesus versus Jezebel. All over America, there is a sexual revolution. Our secular magazines, our Christian magazines are all talking about it. It seems there is a veritable explosion, a snowballing of sexual freedom that is turning into international debauchery as America is launching across the world a pornographic state of mind that is literally shocking the nations. And it all began with the devolving down of marriage from God's high treatment that He gave it in His Word. Today on Viewpoint, we're going to talk about these issues. I trust that you'll stay tuned. Let me just share with you some letters that I have received from some of our listeners, because you say, well, that's mighty tough talk for these troubled times, and that's probably true. But, you know, wouldn't you rather hear the truth than have somebody mealy mouth on things and always try to play the politically correct angle, becoming a people pleaser? That's what some of the folk back in Jesus' day did. And they couldn't go public with Jesus because they enjoyed the pleasures of men more than the pleasures of God. Well, here's a letter that came just this week from a dear listener by the name of Lisa. It says, thank you for being the voice in the wilderness that I have been praying for. I've been praying that God would raise up a national voice to shout to the nation what God's word says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I just couldn't believe all the lies I was hearing on this subject from Christians, Christian radio, Christian talk shows, Christian TV, Christian advice books. Finally, someone pointed me to your website and your Viewpoint radio program. I pray God will bless you a million times over for being a voice of truth. And then this dear lady cites a scripture from 2 Timothy 4, verse 34, for there's going to come a time when people won't listen to the truth, but will go around looking for teachers who will tell them just what they want to hear. They won't listen to what the Bible says, but will blithely follow their own misguided ideas. It's called the itching ear syndrome, and I hope that's not yours. There is a remedy for it. It's called truth. I really appreciate your ministry, says another, especially concerning the divorce remarriage issue. There are too few voices these days addressing that great problem in the church. Another writes, thank you for the wonderful, courageous fight you've been making for American Christians to trust, obey, and repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Another writes, thanks for your clear teachings of Scripture you present concerning remarriage. That seems to be a big issue. Another one, thank you for your insight and courage to speak the truth. And believe it or not, friends, we are involved in counseling people all over this country. They're calling, they're emailing, they're saying, can you help me? Just weeping, oftentimes, men broken, women broken, because of the brokenness in their marriages and in their homes. And so, yes, beyond even the radio program, We're counseling people, sometimes late at night, sometimes early in the morning, in order to touch their hearts, because this is a problem that has invaded our entire world and certainly these United States and the church. Today on Viewpoint, we have a very special guest joining us. This is quite amazing. It's a story that's just unfolded in the last 2 days. A special couple that has come to studio today, Mike and Marion Gorey. They are South African via New Zealand. They've been living in New Zealand, but they're South African. They've just come from a conference called Marriages for Life in Orlando, Florida. They heard about this ministry via the internet and also via some people in Ireland who used to live in South Africa, and the web just never stops. Friends, this is a human interest story, if nothing else, but they've just come from this amazing first-time Marriages for Life conference there in Orlando, Florida, and I want to welcome to Viewpoint Mike Gorey. Mike, it's so good to have you on board.
Thank you, Chuck. It's lovely to be here. I've been looking forward to this and been praying a lot about it as well.
So well, we just appreciate that wonderful accent that you bring. Is that a New Zealand accent, a South African accent, or what should we look for there?
Well, it's a South African accent. It's a South African accent, but we've been living in New Zealand for about 10 years now. But my father was a New Zealander, but it is traditionally South African.
Well, New Zealand is a gorgeous country, isn't it?
Beautiful, beautiful. If you're not going to make heaven, make sure you get to New Zealand first. It's the nearest step to heaven.
Wow. You sure piqued my interest. I've seen some mighty, mighty beautiful pictures of the down under country there.
Beautiful.
And South Africa, how does it square?
Well, South Africa is a beautiful country. It's more rugged, but there's so much violence, rape, AIDS, you name it. Hijacking, etc. It's just so tragic. A beautiful country just going down. So, South Africa is a wonderful country, but I think all these countries around the world need God. And, 78% of South Africa are Christian by name, not necessarily by experience, which is quite an interesting statistic.
Wow. And you come here via a marriage conference in Orlando, Florida. This is an amazing thing, and you've connected with people that I knew in California, people that I met through the internet, through Canada, and now the Spirit of God is bringing all these people together for a common purpose to unite our hearts in the matter of marriage for life. Right. And we want to talk more about that after this upcoming break. Friends, again, we're talking with Mike Gorey concerning this matter of our marriages. I think you're going to want to stay tuned because he has so much to say. Has a broken heart, has been involved in marriage counseling now for many, many years, has been in ministry, and I think Mike has an awful lot to share with us from outside the continental United States. So stay tuned. The Holy Spirit is the same everywhere, and he's uniting our hearts to submit to the will of the Father to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. So please stay tuned. We're going to be talking about Marriages for Life right here on Viewpoint today. Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. We're becoming Christians that count for the kingdom as we talk about marriages for life here today on Viewpoint. You know, our viewpoint concerning marriage does determine destiny. It's determining the destiny of literally thousands and thousands, in fact, millions of marriages. And I might indicate children. Did you know that in the last 30 years or so, there have been 80 million American children that have been rendered fatherless virtually as a result of divorce in our country? You know, we like to talk about the heinous nature of abortion, with 47 million children since 1973 having lost their lives on the altar of sexual freedom. But you know what? Over 80 million American children have been rendered fatherless as a result of the very same thing, the pursuit of sexual freedom through divorce, remarriage, and so on. And so this is something that we need to face with broken hearts. We have broken homes, but now we need to have broken hearts to restore us back to God and His purposes so that, we can be ready for the coming of Christ. That's what we want to do. We want to be ready for His coming. And in the meantime, we want to build strong families. We want to have marriages for life. And to that end, we've invited Mike Gorey to join us. He is from South Africa, but by way of New Zealand for the last 10 years, he comes to us because he connected with this program in this ministry through a number of individuals who gathered at an international marriage conference called Marriages for Life in Orlando, Florida. Mike, let's kind of help people tie this thing together. The relationships that God is breeding around our world are just astounding, and the internet is being used to do that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Tell us some of the individuals that you, how we connected here.
Well, first of all, I have a dear friend, a young friend of mine who lives in Ireland, and he connected and told me, listen, he calls me Uncle Mick, you must listen to a fellow by the name of Chuck Chrismeyer. I said, well, who is he? And he said, I'll send you some CDs. And so he sent these CDs to New Zealand, and I was listening to them, and I said, man, I think he's been cribbing my notes. I think we must we must be on the same page. And so that was wonderful. And so I listened to those, and I found myself saying, amen, brother, preach it. Preach it, brother.
So somebody from Ireland connected you with CDs from this broadcast in New Zealand.
Yes, but it even goes deeper than that.
All right.
Because he picked up a website in Canada, marriagedivorce.com, and he found this website, and he found Joseph Webb on there, and etc. And through that, we were able to actually connect, and that's how this Marriages for Life conference came about.
Astounding. And so there were 120 folk from around the world that came to this unusual marriage conference. Now, this wasn't a seminar.
No.
This was a conference, wasn't it?
All looking in the same direction, all believing in the sanctity of marriage, the covenant of marriage, not the covenant as opposed to a contract. This is the covenant of marriage that is only terminated by death of one of the spouses. And all of these had that same common interest and were believing in the covenant of marriage and wanted to establish that firmly, that marriages and divorces, whilst the previous partner is still alive, is not God's way. And it was amazing, that spirit of unity that was there, and it was a conference like none other. It really was tremendous. And they've got plenty of CDs, etc., and so you can go into the website, marriagesforlife.com.
Sounds like it was exciting, and I know I had been invited to be there, knew I had to be at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in a couple of weeks, and just felt that I couldn't get down there, but now you've kind of whetted my appetite even more.
You're going to have some more.
Well, this is a big issue, isn't it? This is not just a problem for Americans. This matter of divorce and remarriage is a problem that's exploding all over the world, isn't it?
All over the world, but unfortunately what fans the flame is the fact that the clergy in the main are endorsing it. Oh, if you ask every one of them, are you opposed to divorce? Oh, yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone has biblical grounds for divorce, you know, in inverted commas.
All right,
and
so
this is
where
our problem is.
The problem is that in theory, we don't believe in divorce.
No.
But when it comes down to individual situations, we found a way to make excuses because we just don't want to offend someone.
Absolutely.
We don't want to be rejected by someone. So pastors have given up attempting to stand for God, and they're instead trying to become people pleasers.
Absolutely. And at the conference, a verse was read out from John chapter 12, and this is what it says. And many of the disciples, many of the people at that time, they believed on him, but they did not want to confess him for fear of the Pharisees, lest they be put out of the synagogues, because they loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. And we know that many pastors are really struggling with this issue, and I think they're confronted with that verse. Really,
I think there's a tremendous conviction that is coming into the mind and heart of pastors, and they're so afraid of the people. Afraid of what the people will say, afraid of people voting with their feet, voting with their pocketbooks.
Absolutely.
And I think we have actually addicted God's people to feeling good so much that now to give them God's medicine, to give them the straight truth, is so painful, such high risk, that we're just not willing to go there.
Absolutely, and I analogize this and say there were two trees. There's the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And unfortunately, what actually happens is that people eat from the tree of life. They see what the Word of God has to say. They really believe in the Scriptures. They believe that what God is saying. And then, listen to the term, you'll like this, they become Christian atheists.
Ooh, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, they become Christian atheists.
And
they believe
they
believe God. They believe in God, but they don't believe God. They believe in God, but they don't believe God.
And wait a minute. This is amazing. I thought I was the only one that ever used that kind of terminology.
I never heard you use it. Never heard you use it.
I wrote that in a lawsuit that I sent out to 300 of our national Christian leaders in 1996. It was called Jehovah God, the Lord of Nations versus the Spiritual Leaders of America.
Amazing.
And talked about the difference between believing in God and believing God.
Yeah.
Satan believes in God, doesn't
Absolutely.
He?
Absolutely.
He so much believes in God that he actually trembles.
Yes. More than a lot of Christians do.
More than the Christians do.
Yeah.
Satan trembles at God. He believes in God.
Why isn't he saved? Why isn't the Satan saved? All you got to do, brothers, believe. Just believe. Just believe. Why isn't Satan saved?
Because we are not defining belief according to what the Bible says.
Absolutely.
So we're missing a key word. Belief has to tie in with how we behave. Obedience is the sole test of whether we believe, isn't it?
Amen. Let me say this. Those who were researching the derivatives of words had a look at this word believe and found that it came from an old Anglo-Saxon word which really meant believe. So you either believe the gospel or you belie the gospel.
Whoa. Say that again. You either
believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So the derivative, when you look at it, the old Anglo-Saxon word meant literally believe. You either believe the gospel or you belie the gospel.
All right, now that lines up exactly with the Hebraic understanding of what it means to believe.
Absolutely.
See, we have adopted, in my opinion, Mike, what I would call a Greco-Roman viewpoint on the whole meaning of belief.
Yeah.
Now, the Greeks were all about thinking theoretically in your mind and, nailing down certain facts, and the Romans liked the organization of law and so on. You breed those things together, you get this Greco-Roman mindset that we have inherited in the West. And here, we're trying to nail down and export a kind of Christianity that's rooted in Greco-Roman thinking rather than in the Hebraic thinking in which the Bible was written. And so the Hebraic thinking was all about not believing certain facts about the Bible, but about behaving in such a way that it revealed that you truly did believe it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you present the gospel to a Jewish person, make sure you pour it in a Jewish jug. we need to understand, from hermeneutics and who wrote it, when it was written, why was it written, etc. And you can find a lot of truths there. But I believe it's all coming back to the cog of obedience. And I think this is the bottom line. And I think A.W. Tozer put it well when he said something like this. He said, in our endeavor to get rid of the legalistic doctrine of salvation by works, we have thrown the baby out with the bathwater and got a salvation without obedience. And
there
I think
you go.
That's the problem.
Well, the same A.W. Tozer said, prayer is no substitute for obedience.
Absolutely.
And so, again, there it is. Mike, you were a counselor, marriage counselor there in New Zealand for a number of years.
Yes.
What did you encounter there in New Zealand? New Zealand is a Western country, even though it's down under, separated by many thousands of miles, but it's a Western country. What were you encountering there in terms of marriage?
All right, let me back up one step. When I got to New Zealand, I found all the Christian counselors in the directory I could find, and I said, I'm a Christian counselor, mainly marriage counselor from South Africa. Oh, welcome, Mike. We have a problem. What do you mean you're a Christian counselor? We don't understand what you mean. I said, well, what do you mean by what you mean? I thought you were a Christian counselor. Oh, no, don't get us wrong. We're counselors who are Christians, but we're not Christian counselors.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, wait a minute. There's a subtle shift there. Mm-hmm. I believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for correction, instruction in righteousness, etc.
Even for marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. So I present to people a biblical standard. This is what I say. I usually start off my counseling session by saying this. No one breaks laws, but we go against the laws and the laws break us.
Mm-hmm.
The same laws that benefit us when we obey them will work against us when we disobey.
And this is what we're experiencing, is the fallout of this disobedience to God's law concerning our marriages. From the very, very beginning, Jesus said he ordained that male and female were to be one in their marriage. When God puts the marriage together, they become one, and what God has put together, man must not put asunder. And yet somehow we're able to rationalize that. We're able to see, come up with all kinds of rationalizations. I've been through the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s in law practice in the largest family law court in the nation, the Los Angeles Superior Court. And to hear the agonizing cries, Mike, of children.
Yes.
No! Don't do that to my daddy! No, you can't leave mommy! No! I mean, I've heard it echoing down those marble corridors, and I remember one Jewish lawyer, when he found out that I was going to leave the practice and plead the cause on radio, he said, Chuck, tell them from me. Tell them from me we've got to stop the carnage of divorce.
Absolutely.
He said, we've got to stop it. Do whatever you do, keep telling them, until you've made them sick of it, and then keep telling them some more. We must stop the carnage of divorce. Friends, I want to urge you to become part of stopping the carnage that we start in our own lives. It might require some repentance, but you know that's going to bring hope and freedom and joy on the other side. We'll be right back with you after this break. You're listening to Viewpoint. Viewpoint really does determine destiny. It's marriages for life. I'm so glad that you've joined us here on Viewpoint today as we talk about marriages for life. Our special guest in studio from New Zealand via South Africa, Mike Gorey. He has just attended an international conference, the first ever, in Orlando, Florida, called Marriages for Life. 120 deeply concerned Christian leaders from around the world, concerned about our marriages, concerned about restoring biblical marriage to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Now, as you probably know, the divorce rate in the church in this country now is equal or slightly greater than that of the nation as a whole. Believe it or not, the divorce rate among our pastors now is the second highest of all professions in this country and equals their parishioners. In the Bible Belt of America, the greatest concentration of so-called Bible-believing evangelical Christians, the divorce rate is 50% higher than the nation as a whole. According to George Barna, who is a pollster to the church, for the last several years, he has concluded through his research that most of the divorces that are taking place among Christians are taking place after they become Christians, not before. Which means there's something about our understanding of what it means to follow Christ that is dissonant or disjointed or disconnected from the very Bible and marriage. We're not getting it. Somehow we've gotten it very, very confused, and Satan is winning the day at destroying the very institution that God invented brought into being to display His glory in the earth, our marriages, your marriage and mine. So, Mike Gorey joining us live here in studio today from New Zealand and South Africa. Mike, this matter of the breakdown of marriage worldwide has got to be concerning the God who invented marriage. Can you imagine how He's weeping from heaven over what we're doing with this wonderful thing that He ordained to bring glory to His name?
Absolutely. Just to bring glory to His name is what I want to just hone in right now. There are two institutions on earth that depict the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
One is the church, the other is marriage.
You got it. Mm-hmm.
Now, the devil is not so much after your marriage as he is after the image of God. He wants to desecrate, he wants to malign the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when we catch the vision, as outlined in Ephesians chapter 5 and other verses, that marriage is a beautiful picture of Christ and His church, where mm-hmm. the husband takes on the role of being a Christ figure here on earth, mm-hmm. and his wife takes on the role of being the church. He needs to wash her by the washing of the water by the word, to present her unto himself as a glorious church, just like Christ does with the church.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a beautiful spiritual symbolism there. So, we need to understand that. Now, you talked about this conference. It was a tremendous time we had down there. And there were people from seven countries, even China, who were there. And this is just the beginning. We trust it will be a watershed, and many, many people will attend the next one.
Well, there was a fellow by the name of Joseph Webb who actually kind of launched that conference. And he's been on this program before. He's put together a book called Till Death Do Us Part. And this is a very, very important piece of work, and I want to make it available to you, my friend, for your gift of $14 or more to Save America Ministries. Just give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. You're writing a check at $350 for postage and handling. Now, in addition to that, there's another book entitled Is God in Your Marriage? Is God in your marriage? So I ask you the question, is God truly in your marriage? And this is a wonderful book by a friend of mine, Leo Godzich, and we want to make that available to you as well. Very different than the Till Death Do Us Part. Combining those two, you're going to get a very, very wonderful, full-fledged understanding of God's view of marriage, and it'll be very helpful to you. Now, Leo's book, Is God in Your Marriage? For your gift of $10 or more to Save America Ministries, we'll put that in your hands. Just call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Mike, I think virtually any professing Christian would want to say, yes, God is in my marriage, but the reality is that the way we're living, that probably isn't true.
No, it isn't true. I would like to pick up on what you said earlier on about the courts and how there's cries of anguish and pain.
Mm-hmm.
I made a statement just off the air, and I think it's worth repeating.
Yeah, share it with us.
Divorces only occur when the stubborn wills of men and women take preeminence over the will of God.
Divorces only occur when the stubborn will of men and women take preeminence over the will and the word of God.
Absolutely, and I think this is what the Lord came to deliver us from.
Mm-hmm.
I think, there's and we all know this in Acts chapter 17, and Paul was there on Mars Hill, and he saw an altar to the unknown God.
Mm-hmm.
And he took that right from there as an object lesson. He said, whom you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken that, and with a bit of spiritual license, and I say there is an altar to the unknown God in every single man and woman's life. That's the altar of self. And we bow down at the God of self every single day. And I made that statement. One of the early church fathers said once, you die by living to self. You live by dying to self. And when it comes to marriage, it's the same. I mean, if I want my will and I'm out there to see that she pleases me, instead of my going out to say, how can I please her and present her as a chaste virgin unto Christ and bless her with the word of God?
Mm. How beautiful. If I live to myself, I really am dying. And if I
If you die by living to self, you live by dying to self. A good statement.
Well spoken.
Yeah.
Just another way of saying exactly what Jesus said, and with direct application to our marriages. Divorce. How did we get there? How is it that we have inaugurated divorce as if it is a blessing from God?
Well, I think if we look back and we see 50 years ago, we'll find that divorce was something that was abhorred. People didn't talk about it. Today, it's almost socially accepted. It's almost fashionable. People talk about, well, I'm in my third one, you know, many other pebbles on the beach, you know, type of thing. And I think that if people are led by the Spirit of God, you see, it's one thing to accept Jesus as your Savior. It's another to crown Him as Lord of your life. And when He's Lord of your life, and this is something that I teach a Bible class in a Bible college there in New Zealand, and I tell them right at the outset, I said, I want you to know, this is the definition of repentance, not just accepting Jesus, not just saying sorry for your sin, but you need to come in remorse and accept Christ, surrender your life, repent, and repentance is, above all things, surrendering your will to the will of God. Many people accept Jesus as Savior, and they never really surrender their will to the will of God. And if we get that into our hearts and our minds, we say, God, I know that this is displeasing to You. Divorce is displeasing to You. So I'm going to have to sacrifice myself and my comforts and say I'm going to choose to obey You rather than my own will.
Mike, that's exactly the opposite of the philosophy of our age. The philosophy of our age is God wants me happy.
Yeah.
That happiness is the ultimate pursuit of life. God says, be ye holy. Right. We say, be ye happy. And now we're neither happy nor holy.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was just thinking about this obedience. And we read in the book of Hebrews, he said, and he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
And wait a minute, not all those who believe him, all those who obey him.
And it's possible to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And getting back to that statement, belief, you either live the truth or you belie the truth, that old Anglo-Saxon word.
This is so important for us to somehow grind into the membranes of our mind, because Satan has been working triple time to deceive us. The deceiver is rampant, and he is working his massive deception in the areas of our marriages and to deface the image of God. I think you've hit it right on.
Yeah.
He's defacing the image of God by doing that, and we have been willing to play his game. Friend, I want to urge you to get a copy of Joe Webb's book, Till Death Do Us Part. Your gift of $14 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. And also, Leo Godsey's book is God in Your Marriage. Your gift of $10 or more to Save America Ministries is going to be, what a blessing these are going to be to you. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries. We'll be right back. Surgically dissecting the issues for destiny right here on Viewpoint. Today we're talking about Marriages for Life, the title of an international conference, the first ever by leaders throughout the world to talk about the devastation that Satan is bringing to Christian marriage. It's just astounding, and pastors have become his number one henchman to lead the way, to pave the way for people to desecrate the image of God by divorcing one another, remarrying. It has become a literal Peyton place in God's own house. Today, joining us live in studio, Mike Gorey, from South Africa, who actually has spent the last 10 years in New Zealand. He's been involved in ministry there and in marriage counseling. Heavy duty. Mike, you were doing this nearly full time for years, weren't you?
Yeah, in South Africa I was. Mm-hmm. I was counseling sometimes probably about 6 to 8 hours a day, and everyone has got a problem worse than the other one. Oh, everything's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've counseled many people, and if I may give you an illustration of something, and I think it comes right down
sure.
where we're talking right now.
Yeah.
I was giving a seminar once in South Africa, and I came to the end of the seminar, and I thought I'd give an illustration. I said, now, if... In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says that the husband is the head of the wife, and then I just illustrated with my hands here, there's the head over the body. And I said, you see, what happens when you divorce? If a wife divorces her husband, what she does, in fact, is she cuts off the head. So really, divorce equals marriage. Divorce equals murder in the sight of God. Divorce is murder. It's cutting a head off the body or a body off the head.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, now... There may be some murderers in this congregation here tonight. I said, now don't look over your shoulder or to the left or the right. Just look ahead and just pray. He may be sitting next to you. And I just developed that a little bit. And I said, you see, when you decide you're going to divorce your husband or divorce your wife, you are in fact saying, I'm going to cut the head off the body. A woman went home. She came under such conviction. She went to her husband. She says, you know, I'm a murderer. He just about jumped out of his skin. He got such a fright. So he said, what do you mean? So he said, I've been just about cutting the head off the body. I had one signature to put on that paper, and my divorce was through. And I saw her 9 months later, and she told me the story. Mm. And she says, praise God, your marriage seminar that you gave that night when you said cutting heads off bodies,
mm-hmm.
Ephesians chapter 5, the head and the body, Christ and his church, is just like murder in the sight of God. And I could see ourselves as a murderer. My husband's here tonight. We're reconciled. We've fallen in love, and God has saved our marriage. I say, yes, Lord. Amen and amen.
You know, Mike, I think people give up too soon. We're in such a headlong pursuit of happiness rather than holiness.
Mm.
And we don't allow God to use marriage as his divine rubbing compound to do his work.
Yeah,
and I remember there at 7 years in our marriage, my wife came to me and she says, Chuck, I don't have any more feelings for you.
Yeah.
Now, here we were going to church 2 or 3 times a week. My father was a pastor. I'd grown up in the church, had majored in religion and psychology, by the way, at a church-related college. And here, I didn't understand how to be a spiritual leader in my home. It wasn't that I was unfaithful to my wife. It's just that I was not attending. I wasn't a true Christian husband in that sense. And I believed all the right things,
oh, yes.
See, but I wasn't living that in reality. And so Kathy came to me and she says, Chuck, I just don't have any more feelings for it. I mean, it pierced to the core. Now, in reality, Mike, I knew that things weren't going well. I mean, yeah. Webster just didn't define the English language that worked in our marriage. She'd say one thing and I'd hear something else. She'd hear something else. It was like, you know, the tension was so thick in our home, you could cut it with a machete.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Well, here we are now. My wife was just announcing me last night. She says, Chuck, let's do something special. We're about to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary.
Praise God.
Now, not all of those years since then have been wonderful.
Yeah.
But what's happened is, as we have submitted to God and His will and His word, we have actually found ourselves with divine humor conducting marriage seminars.
Amen.
If you can believe that.
Yep.
And urging and counseling others. And now we are in a position at 40 years of marriage to delight in one another more than ever before and to experience the glory of God working in our ever-expanding family. Now, this, I think, is what God has in mind, isn't it?
Absolutely. May I coin an expression? Chuck, God will never, ever waste a hurt.
Mm,
God won't waste a hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And you were hurting in your marriage, and you allowed what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, that all those who are exercised by the chastening of the Lord will come through. So we've got to say, all right, Lord, I know I'm hurting, but if you have a plan B, Chuck, plan A will never work.
So you cannot even allow the concept of divorce for a Christian.
I'm not going to cut a head off a body or a body off a head, otherwise I am a murderer.
All right, but some will say, there's no grace in that message. Where's the love of Christ? Where's the mercy of God? Respond to that.
I think grace has been stretched so far and has been watered down. I think if we go to Titus chapter 2, it'll give us a definition, a good definition of grace. Listen to it. It says here, for the grace, that's Titus 2 and verses 11 and 12, for the grace of God hath that bringeth salvation, that's the grace we want, hath appeared to all men. What does it do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, godlikeness in this present world. So the grace that brings salvation teaches us to deny ungodliness, to live godly, holy, soberly, righteously before God.
Well, we've another aspect of that is that it's God's enabling power then to enable us to do what God expects to obey Him.
Absolutely.
It's not His overlooking our foibles as we are currently defining it and excusing our sin and our stubbornness and rebellion. God doesn't excuse those things, does He?
No, not at all. And I would say to all of those who perhaps who are listening to this broadcast today who are hurting in their marriage, let me give you something that I think will help you. If you and your partner are not getting on well, you and your wife or and or husband, the number one goal is not to get back with your husband or your wife. That's not the number one goal. The number one goal is to get right with God. You get right with God. And Proverbs 16 verse 7 says this very clearly. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes the enemy to be at peace with him. That's how I operate.
Well, no wonder you have given such wonderful biblical counsel. I mean, here in just a few minutes on the air, I'm looking at the words of a man who wrote me on our guest book on our website. He says, thanks so much for your uncompromising stand regarding remarriage and unrepentant adultery. It's a clarion call for the church, pastors, and society to wake to this damnable sin. I pray that confession and repentance will follow for those who are caught up in this deception. Now, somebody hearing that would say, yeah, but he just doesn't have any problems with his marriage. Not so. Listen to what he says. My wife left our home in 2001 after nearly 20 years of marriage. I praise God that she has not remarried as yet. I can't tell you how often I have been encouraged to get on with my life, to pursue another relationship by well-meaning Christians, well-meaning but biblically blind people, pointing me toward the flames of hell. Here's a brother who, in spite of the fact that his wife has left, he, standing in the place of Christ, is continuing to reach to her, to pray, to keep his heart and his mind open to her so that God then can bring her to repentance and reunite them.
Absolutely.
Somehow we've missed this vision, Mike.
Absolutely. If I could say something, I don't know how much time we've got left here, Brother Chuck.
All right, go ahead.
But let me just say this. I have a glass of water, or a glass of water in my hand. Now, here we are. There you have it. I've been drinking, sipping out of this. Now, that reminds me of an illustration I gave down at this conference. Conference is over now, but we're planning to have more. And this is what I said to them. I said, now, husband and wife coming to me. I want a divorce. I've been married for 15 years. I'm through with it. I've found someone else. I'm not interested. So I sit him down and I say, right, I give him a teaspoon of salt. I give her a teaspoon of sugar. I said, right, now, I want you to go back how long? 15 years? Yeah, 15 years. 15 years. Then a little tear trickles down her cheek. And then I said, do you remember that day? I said, now the minister said, dearly beloved, we gather together in the sight of God to witness the joining togetherness. Will you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, to love and to cherish in sickness and health, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer? Will you love her, forsake all other, and keep true only unto her as long as you both shall live till death do us part? I said, sir, what did you say? I said, yes. I said, right, will you just put the put this, the salt into this water? So he puts the salt in. I said to her, now tell me, when you got married, did you make vows to him? For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, till death do us part? Till death, not divorce, till death do us part? She says, yes. I said, all right, will you just put that on here? Just put that into the water, put the sugar in, and then I stir it up. I said, now that which God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I now pronounce you husband and wife in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What God has joined together, two shall now become one, and one is the indivisible number. Then I said to him, now, Joe, will you please, I saw you put the salt in here, will you please just take the salt out of here? And he laughs. I say to her, now, Mary, will you please just take the sugar out of here? I saw you put it in just a few minutes ago. She said, I can't. I said, you've just learned by an object lesson how God sees marriage. Two independent elements have dissolved into oneness, and now they have become one. That's how marriage is.
What a beautiful picture, beautiful. Mike, and what a way to wrap up our program. Sometimes it's not just what we say, but it's the way we say it that pierces right to the heart and helps us to grab a hold in the midst of a very confusing generation in which we live. And certainly Satan wants to confuse things as much as he can, but here today on Viewpoint, I think that we have brought clarity to this picture. And friend, I want to urge you to get to our website, saveus.org. That's www.saveus.org. We have an outline there called Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage, a summary of what the Bible really teaches. It's 7 pages. It will be very, very helpful to you. That's our website, saveus.org. We have books and materials there that will be very, very helpful to you. Also, you can listen to this program any time of the day or night, anywhere in the world, on the archive section of our website. Avail yourself of it. And also, get a copy of Joe Webb's book, Till Death Do Us Part. What a blessing it'll be. Your gift of $14 or more to Save America Ministries. And then also Leo Gonzalez's book, Is God in Your Marriage? Your gift of $10 or more to Save America Ministries. And will you consider becoming a partner with us as day after day we're preparing the way of the Lord? Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. And even marriage must be lived by faith.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.